I'd like to introduce optometrist Jerry O'Hare from Mearns Opticians in the outskirts of Glasgow. He's also the lead optometrist for East Renfrewshire, and that's the area where he practices. Jerry, hello.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
The first thing I'd like to ask you is, when did the name optician change to optometrist?
Well, there's a bit of a debate on that one. The Opticians Act, we believe, Opticians Act 1987 was around the time where the name officially changed from optician to optometrist. Optician, the name and title optician always existed. At one point there was ophthalmic optician and there was dispensing optician. The dispensing optician was deregulated in the late 80s, which meant that you didn't have to have a qualification to trade as an optician. So they had to protect the professional, which the ophthalmic optician, and the term optometrist, which had been used before that, even going back to the late 70s, early 80s, then came into more prominence. So from around 87 onwards, the practitioner, the person who tests your eyes, etc., and check the health of your eyes, was more commonly known as the optometrist.
Right, thank you for that explanation. So you're quite happy still to be called an optician if someone...
Yeah, I think in real world terms, if somebody asks you what you do, often you're better saying optician. When you say optometrist, they just ask you, what's that? And you say optician, and they get it.
Okay. So even like pharmacists and chemists, we're in the same
boat. I was going to ask you the same question.
Yes, we're in the same boat. So now, we should all know the importance of getting regular checks, Jerry, with the optometrist. And what sort of checks do you advise?
Well, the most simple thing to take on board and to remember is to get regular eye examinations. Under the age of 16, over the age of 60, we recommend every 12 months. And this is really regardless of whether you have any symptoms, whether you wear glasses, whether you feel that your vision is in any way, shape or form changing. Because it's not just about correcting your vision. We do a comprehensive health check from the very front surface to the very back surface of your eyes. And often a lot of the checks that we do, we can pick up early stages of systemic conditions such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, early stage diabetes. To name but a few.
How can you tell these sort of things, Jim?
Well, we can ascertain is triggers, suspicious elements of the back of the eye, for example, the way that the blood vessels at the back of the eye are flowing. If we notice there are any perhaps some small bleeds or some fluid leaking from the vessels. That could indicate that the blood pressure is unstable, or there's perhaps some cholesterol or problems, or early stage diabetes, undiagnosed early stage diabetes. And sorry, in between the age band of 60 and under 16, every 2 years, unless you have a condition or a history in the family which would require more regular intervals, and again, that's something that your optometrist, optician, would discuss with you in the test room.
So something like glaucoma, for example,
yeah.
If that was in the family, what would you suggest?
If glaucoma was in the family, over the age of 40, and it's within your immediate family, i.e. your mum, your dad, we would recommend that you get a 12-monthly check over the age of 40.
And these sort of diseases, for example, glaucoma, if that's not picked up, what are the consequences?
The consequence, glaucoma is a very, very tricky condition to diagnose. It's far from straightforward. Often the symptoms of glaucoma go unnoticed. It's picked up generally by what we find during our examination. So a lot of it is to do with the appearance of your optic disc, which is the wiring between your brain and the back of your eye. It's the optic disc is one area where it starts to degenerate in glaucoma, and often there would be no symptoms it's the appearance. Later stage symptoms of glaucoma, you would start to notice that your visual field, so when you're looking straight ahead, the periphery of your vision would start to enclose. Again, at that point, the condition is generally fairly advanced.
Right, and if you're, for example, a diabetic, why is it important to get your eyes checked?
Well, again, diabetes, the vessels at the back of the eye and the front surface of the eye, for that matter, can become very delicate in diabetes. Diabetic patients who have got poor control over their diabetes tend to suffer a lot of leakage in the vessels at the back of the eye. This can lead to serious sight loss. And you know, poorly recoverable sight loss as well.
And floaters, people talk about floaters, what are these?
Floaters essentially are bits of pigment that come loose from the back of the eye. So within the capsule of the eye, there's a fluid that's there when you're born, a vitreous fluid, and it's quite a thick gel when you're young and growing up. And it's attached to your retina, the back of your eye, in certain places. As we get older, as the eye ages, that thick fluid becomes a bit more watery, liquidy. And as it does that, it tugs on the areas that's attached to the back of the eye. And the tugging motion releases pigment from the back of the eye. And those pigment strands are what you see floating around. Generally speaking, they're nothing to worry about. Always worth getting checked out, though, because they can lead to a retinal tear if it's a serious enough traction on the retina.
And of course, that could lead presumably to blindness eventually.
Yeah, a retinal detachment, again, it's all about timing. So if a retinal detachment is not treated in a timely fashion, then it could lead to long-term vision loss.
Wow. Now, blepharitis, this is something that his name is being bandied about. What exactly is that?
So blepharitis is an inflammation of the eyelid margins. So when you close your eyes, the wee line that you see across your eyes, that's your lid margin. And it's a very, very common condition and very treatable, probably more common than you can imagine. Causes of it are varied. People with dry skin conditions often suffer blepharitis. People with dry eyes can suffer blepharitis. It can be caused by parasites along your lid margin, and it can also be caused by a dysfunction in the glands that run along the lid margin. These are glands that essentially secrete oil to the surface of your eyes to keep your tear film healthy and stable. When these glands become blocked, it can lead to blepharitis. Often you'll see both in conjunction. Now, in most cases, it can be treated by simple lid margin techniques of cleansing using lid wipes that can be purchased over the counter, or even a solution of cool boiled water and salt, or a small bit of baby shampoo carefully managed with a cotton bud. That is one area that should be careful with, because the baby shampoo solution, which has been a solution that's been recommended for quite some time, can actually affect your tear film itself. It's very good for clearing blepharitis, but it can affect your tear film, so you have to be careful with it. But the real key here is, if you're suffering from it, you go and see your optometrist.
Get great advice, Jerry. Yeah. Now, is there such a thing, when I get asked about sore eyes from trying to read, say, in a computer screen?
Well, anything that you do that's for prolonged periods at close proximity will put strain on your eyes. You know, we're not designed to focus at a finite distance for lengthy periods. There's a great rule, in fact, 20-20-20. So every 20 minutes, for 20 seconds, you look 20 feet away or more. And that relaxes the muscles in your eyes that are often under strain when you're reading for long periods or using a screen within a short distance for long periods. So that itself can lead to eye strain. If you have an uncorrected near vision prescription, for example, so you need reading glasses or glasses that would help you with your intermediate range, that itself will cause eye strain, because the muscles in your eyes have to work extremely hard to try to maintain the focus. So again, it's all down to having the best corrective eyewear, best corrective lenses, and being sensible about the time that you spend in front of computers or reading or tablets.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly sensible. Sure, we don't do that.
No one does.
So looking at just the future, Jerry, where do you see, I suppose, vision help, help for blind people, help for those who are visually impaired for the future?
Well, there's people are living longer, so we're experiencing more and more people who are getting to a point in life where their vision is becoming poorer. There is various different research getting into low vision. There are some fantastic low vision aids you can get using iPads and iPhones, for example, and they're very, very straightforward to use. And there are companies who specialise in low vision aids, which is, can be simple magnifiers to enhanced electronic screens to help people read or watch TV. The RNIB are probably the gold standard in terms of the future of visually impaired. They do so much work and research into assisting people with visual impairment. So I think working with local optometrists is a key to managing people within the community who have visual impairment. And again, in a lot of cases, you have to manage it, and that's the key. Manage expectations and manage the best we can with the facilities we have. The research will continue and it will never stop, because people will always have visual impairment at some point in life, whether it's something straightforward like a cataract that can be removed, or macular degeneration, which to date there's no cure for or prevention for, but their stem cell research continually going on, which one day we hope that there'll be some form of prevention or even hopefully a cure for it. But at this moment in time, it's more management than anything else.
Yeah, that's reasonably positive. Thanks, Jerry. And obviously the message from you is to see your optometrist, oblique optician, regularly. It's really, really important. You've obviously emphasised that. And thank you for the endorsement for RNIB, because I think they're doing a great job.
Fantastic job.
So thank you very much for speaking with me today, Jerry.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to be here.